Hi, and welcome to the magazine Rack on Chris. I'm Steve Parker. Today I'll be reading from the March 25th edition of People Magazine. Taking a look at the front page, oh my gosh, Robert Downey Jr., look at the smile on his face. Well, I mean, he's had a lot of challenges through his life, that's for darn sure, but boy, oh boy, things really seem to be going his way these days. So, got a big smile on his face, big glasses on, almost like, I guess the older style, the big specs are back again. It's so hard to tell these days, but yeah, he really looks like he's certainly been through a lot, but right now he's on top of the world. Love and Triumph, Finding Joy, Robert Downey Jr. And this is an exclusive People exclusive. And we see him there, holding his, Oscar. From Iron Man to Oscar Gold, the iconic actor opens up about his incredible journey and how his wife, Susan and their family keep him grounded. She loved me back to life. And he's dressed all in black there and really very, you know, almost semi-formal, but no tie. Just kind of like a little tie around his neck. Not a bow tie, but like a shirtless or a tie-less shirt. You know what I mean? And up to that, we see him with his wife, an inset shot of her. And they're both dressed formally. Obviously, it could have been even the Oscars. And he's kissing her on the side of her head. Above that, royal photo controversy. Kate takes the blame. And we see a photo of Kate with the three children there. Christina Applegate and Jamie Lynn Sigler living with MS were in this together. And that's what the front page looks like. So let's go over and take a look at cover story, which is Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr., This Is What I Was Born to Do, is what it's titled. The Oppenheimer star reflects on his journey to Oscar Gold and shares how family has changed his life in stories by Eric Anderson and Andrea Mandel. He's got like three shots of him across the two pages here. One profile, and he's like looking directly into the Oscar, holding up with his left hand. Then he's it's just a great shot. And then center, it looks like he's almost got his hands are almost in prayer style, all dressed in black again. And the Oscar is down at his feet. On that to the right, he looks like he's, I don't know, it's almost like he's as if he was sword fighting. I don't know. He's holding the Oscar out in front of him, and he's got his left arm kind of raised up over his head, like, take that. The secret to his success. I live with an actual genius, Downey says, of his wife and producing partner, Susan, whom he credits for his career heights. It's astonishing. And here we go. The day before the March 10 Oscars, Robert Downey Jr. was faced with making a major decision, not about whom to thank in another potential acceptance speech. He already delivered several with humor and self-deprecation as he swept the awards circuit for his portrayal of scheming bureaucrat Louis Strauss in Oppenheimer. No, Downey and his wife of 18 years, Susan, had to make the real high-level executive call, he says. Which parent would accompany son Exton, 12, to Little League, and which would cheer on daughter Avery, age 9, at her softball game? Both were starting pitchers. This was serious business. In the end, Downey rooted on Exton, and Susan supported Avery, says the actor. We had to divide and conquer. He conquered the next day, too, winning the trophy for Best Supporting Actor and delivering an entertainment address that was sweet, salty, and full of heart, much like the man himself. I'd like to thank my terrible childhood and the Academy in that order, he said to laughter before extending his gratitude to his family, including his three kids. Downey, 58, is also a father to Indio, age 30, from a previous marriage, and his wife, Susan. She found me a snarling rescue pet and loved me back to life. That's why I'm here. Here being the pinnacle of his career, and Downey is clearly savoring the love coming his way after more than four decades in show business. This is what I was born to do, Downey tells People. He likened the Oscar night excitement and frenetic pace to his 2005 wedding to Susan, 50, who is also his producing partner at their company, Team Downey. Earlier in the day, we said, let's just check in tonight. Because there's all this stuff going on, and it, in a lot of ways, is for other people, he says. But the best part of the night was there was a commercial break, and we just touched heads like two dinosaurs letting each other know we were a couple. It was great. Friends can see how content Downey is. It's nice that the sun is shining on him because it takes turns, says his Iron Man director, Jon Favreau. You really get the sense that he's putting things in perspective, and he seems to be understanding what this moment means. Indeed, the victory tastes that much sweeter for Downey, considering his road to get here. Talk about a roller coaster ride, notes Susan. After breaking out in 1980s classics like Weird Science and The Pickup Artist, Downey, the son of indie filmmaker actor Robert Downey Sr. and actress Elsie, established himself. You know, when there's those times when you step out, you're usually young and you take a chance and you're shivering and you're terrified, Downey says. But you know that if you don't do it now, you may as well not even try. Try he did. He was even nominated for a Best Actor Oscar at age 27 in 1993 for his portrayal of Charlie Chaplin in Chaplin. But the grip of drug addiction took him off course. In the late 90s and early 2000s, Downey, who has said he first smoked pot at age 6 when his dad gave him a joint, was arrested multiple times, entered several treatment programs, and spent more than a year behind bars. Downey joked about his troubles in his Oscar speech, thanking Tom Hansen, his entertainment lawyer of 40 years, saying, "The attorney spent half that time trying to get me insured and bailing me out of the hooskow." Downey has long credited Illinois native Susan Nielewin, whom he met on the set of the 2003 thriller Gothica, which she produced, for setting him on a path that led to his remarkable second act. Favreau, who famously cast Downey in 2008's Iron Man before he became a bankable star, says his impact on any film is electric. "Robert is always interesting," he says. "That is a superpower." The first Iron Man earned more than $500 million at the box office, launched a multi-billion dollar Marvel Cinematic Universe, and established Downey as a true leading man who could headline other franchises like Sherlock Holmes. That same year, he nabbed his second Oscar nomination for his role in Tropic Thunder. Despite all his success, he was still eager to play his range, and Oppenheimer arrived as the perfect challenge. "Here's my little secret. I needed this job more than it needed me," Downey, who lost weight and shaved his head for the role, said in his Oscar speech. Christopher Nolan, who took home Best Director and Best Picture for the epic drama about the creation of the atomic bomb, told Vanity Fair Downey nailed the role of Strauss, who slowly and subtly undermines Cillian Murphy's titular scientist. "From a creative point of view, he came extraordinarily well prepared," he said. "It's a very complicated part, and he had it absolutely down." Behind the scenes, Downey has found fulfillment quietly, becoming a guiding light for others. "He really does believe in giving back, and he does it through his actions," says Susan. "It's just an appreciation for all he's gone through, for all the people who stuck around through some of his more difficult times. Whether it's mentoring young actors like John Boyega, who sought Downey's advice on navigating Hollywood before he broke out in Star Wars, The Force Awakens, or offering moral support to friends going through a hard time, Downey shows up for those who need it. When fellow Avenger Jeremy Renner was in the ICU last January following his horrific snowplow accident, Downey checked in on him constantly. "We ended up having really great chats on FaceTime, like we were dating or something," recalls Renner. Of course, the devilishly funny Downey couldn't resist ribbing the mayor of Kingstown star. Even as he lay in a hospital bed recovering from the life-threatening injuries, he's like, "You've got to get back to do mayor, because we need to see what happens," Renner says. His ways are very heartwarming. At home, Downey brings that same joyous energy. "We all love his playfulness," says Susan. "No matter what hobbies Exton and Avery get into, Downey dives in. He really cares about whatever they care about, and he will be indulgent," she says. "Years ago, they were into pancake art. We had everything you need for pancake art. These days, it's music. Both my kids and Indio, all three of them play instruments," says Susan, who adds that Downey loves to jam with them. "Sometimes they'll be like, 'Dad, stop singing. Let me just play.' But there is so much love." Downey delights in domestic life. He loves talking to Susan about possibly repainting the kitchen. At dinner time, the doting dad starts rounding everyone up. "Come on, guys, it's 6:01. Where is everyone?" Susan says, mimicking her husband's enthusiasm for punctuality. We always make fun of him about that, but I think that's his way of saying, "I'm here. Let's be together. Let's spend time." When work obligations separate the family temporarily, the Downeys make sure it doesn't last too long. "We don't go more than 2 weeks without seeing each other and the family being together," explains Susan. "We haven't had to enact that recently. Fortunately, we prefer to be a traveling circus when we can." Downey and Susan, the unstoppable ringmasters, are gearing up for the next act. "We're just getting started," says Susan. "There's so many more things we want to do together and achieve together and play together." It's clear Downey, who next plays four characters in the HBO limited series The Sympathizer, isn't going to rest on his laurels taking home his Oscar. Says the actor, "I got a couple other tricks up my sleeve." There's a lot of great pictures of him throughout his career there. We see a picture of him. "Robert is always interesting. That's a superpower. Friend and Iron Man director Jon Favreau." That's a quote from him. And you see him standing there with his arms up in the air, and he's holding his Oscar in his left hand and just like big smile on his face, like, "Ta-da, we did it!" You know, that type of look. And another picture of him kissing his wife on the cheek there. A lot of great shots here. Let's see. Three generations Downey, with Exton and his late father, Robert Downey Sr., in the 2022 documentary Senior, says his dad would be pleased with his Oscar win despite his staunch preference for indie films. He went to his grave saying, "You got robbed for Chaplin." But so many other great shots here. Scanning through, what a career he has had. Boy, oh boy. Then we see his picture here in Oppenheimer. Boy, it's like his hair is almost all gone, partially bald, hair pulled back. Looks hardly anything. You have to stare at him to see that it's Robert Downey Jr. But there's some great, great pictures here. We see a picture of him at Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. Chaplin, of course, a great picture of him there. It looks exactly like Charlie Chaplin. He earned his first of three Oscar nominations for portraying silent film star Charlie Chaplin. Ally McBeal, he was involved in that, 2000 to 2002. His character, fast-talking attorney Larry Paul, was a love interest for Calista Flockhart in seasons 4 and 5. Iron Man right here in 2010. They complement each other so well. Director Favreau says of Downey and Gwyneth Paltrow, and of course is in the Iron Stars with him. Picture of him back then when he was a kid in Weird Science. All right, let's see what else we can find in this edition of People Magazine. And here's another great one. Christina Applegate and Jamie Lynn Sigler, living with MS. "We are helping each other through this." These photographs are by John Russo. Let's see, the story looks like it's by Eileen Finnan. After learning she had MS in 2021, Applegate turned to Sigler, who has lived with the chronic disease for more than 20 years. The actresses open up about their powerful friendship and their raw and real new podcast. It's MESSY, Messy. So that's for MS, obviously. MESSY. Common bond. "It can be easy to forget all the other parts of yourself and let this disease define you," says Sigler, who we see here with Applegate in March 6th. "It's important as Christina's friend to remind her of her greatness." And we see the two of them just kind of nuzzling each other, and one head rested on top of the other. It's just really just a beautiful, beautiful shot here. It's raining in the Hollywood Hills outside Christine Applegate's home as the actress leans her head against Jamie Lynn Sigler's shoulder. Gripping Sigler's hand, Applegate explains that it's been a tough few days leading up to this, her first photo shoot in 4 years. "The last 5 days I've been sobbing, going, I'm going to have to cancel. I was throwing up last night, thinking about all of it, being touched, makeup and hair. Even talking about it, I get spasms. Weird positions, shoes, people, noise, climate, I can't control. It all goes through my mind, and I want to go back to bed and watch Naked and Afraid." She links arms with Sigler, who's on a rare visit from her home in Austin. "I wouldn't have done it today without her," Sigler rubs her hand. "But you did it," she tells Applegate. "We did it. a lot is still possible. That optimism has been a lifeline for Applegate since the actress's mutual friend Lance Bass put them in touch in 2021 after Applegate was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis while in the midst of filming her Netflix series Dead to Me. If I didn't have her, I wouldn't be able to do this life thing, says Applegate, 52. For Sigler, 42, who learned she had MS more than two decades ago when she was co-starring on The Sopranos, Applegate's blunt honesty and humor in the face of the disease were liberating. Even on an up day, MS is there. It's just less SH-Y, Applegate says. Now the two are sharing their journey in a new podcast, capital M, small E, capital S-S-Y, like messy, but again, like I said earlier, the M and the S are capital. Debuting March 19th, says Sigler. The way Christina allows me to talk about the hard stuff, I need it desperately. You've become close friends. What clicked? Is the question here. Jamie Lynn Sigler says, we're in two different places with MS, but we help each other. Christina opened me up. I didn't realize how desperately I needed to stop trying to be perfect. One thing I haven't done in the last 23 years is admit it was hard because I didn't want to let anyone down. Christina Applegate, she's the only person who really knows me. I could talk about anything with her. Constipation, diarrhea, Bravo TV. Christina, you called your MS devastating. How are you coping today, is the question. Applegate says, my symptoms are worse in the morning, like crazy town bad. The pain and the numbness and the balance, it's horrible. So, of course, the first thing in the morning, I'm real pissed off about it all. But I don't want to be like this always. And I know I won't because I have my hero here, pointing to Jamie. I know I'll live a long life. Her voice catches, to experience my kid and the things she's going to do, and I need to be here. So I've got to fight. I gotta fight. You've been hospitalized for symptoms, correct? Applegate says, many times. They don't know what's wrong, but we're pretty sure my stomach and my intestines are not very good friends. It causes me intense pain and vomiting. I gained 45 pounds when I was diagnosed from steroids and lack of mobility. It's just a body that doesn't feel right. And I've lost 30-something pounds. People are like, what have you been doing? And I'm like, vomiting, not Ozempic, barfing. Applegate pauses to shift her position on the couch. Applegate says, sorry, my legs are so ouchy right now. Sigler says, do you want to stretch out? Applegate says, thanks, Mama. Are your legs okay? Sigler says, fine. Applegate says, you're so good at MS. Sigler says, I've had more time. Applegate sighs, I want to be good at it too. Then the question, Jamie, your boys Bo and Jack are 10 and 6. Christina, your daughter Sadie is 13. How does MS affect parenting? Applegate says, my daughter's had to see the loss of her mom in the way I was a mom with her, dancing with her every day, picking her up from school every day, working at her school, working in the library, being present out of the house, out of my bed. She doesn't see those things anymore. If she comes in my room and sees I'm laying on my side, she knows she can't ask me to do anything. And that breaks me because I love doing stuff for my kid. I love making her food and bringing it to her. But I just can't sometimes. But I try. I try. Sigler says, my kids have only known me with MS. They know that certain things are hard for me, and they don't even come to me anymore. A lot of times, I can't muster the energy. Applegate says, it's heartbreaking when you have to say to them, I can't. It's like the worst feeling in the world as a mother. You're supposed to be their protector in life. When you have to say, I can't, it rips your soul apart. She wipes away tears. I'm sorry. I freak out about it every day. Question. How have your husband supported you? Sigler's been married to former MLB star Cutter Dykstra, 34, since 2016. Applegate has been married to bassist Martin Lenoble, 54, since 2013. Sigler says, they see that we're strong women and they're aware we wouldn't ask for help if we didn't need it. My husband wanted to help too much. I almost felt like I need you to look at me as your wife and not always somebody that needs help. We had to go to therapy about it. It felt like MS was the other woman in the relationship, and that's all he saw. When you live with a chronic illness, everyone in your intimate circle is affected by it. Accommodations have to be made for it. Applegate says, which makes you feel awful. I don't want to be that way. It sucks. We went to Europe last year, and there was a lot of walking. Some days, they wanted to do fun things, and I'd have to be like, I don't want to be the burden, so I'm going to stay in the hotel. But my husband always wanted to hold my hand while we were walking. Sometimes I feel like he was doing it because I was so slow. He's trying to speed me up, but it was very sweet. Just a little Yankee. Yank-y. Sigler says, for me, my husband's arm was my cane for many years until I was willing to take a cane. What are some of the challenges of your lives with MS that people don't understand? People ask. Sigler says, go ahead, say it. Applegate says, well, you pee in your pants because you probably can't get to the bathroom in time. So, yeah, diapers. Applegate pulls down the waistband of her jeans for a peek at her pair, which feature a floral design. Sigler says, and we have a bone to pick with the designers because who wants a beautiful flower on your diaper? It should really say F blank, 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 my life. Applegate says, but there are some benefits to MS. First of all, parking is awesome. Sigler says, there could be a cure for MS, and I will not give up my handicap placard. We earned it. Applegate says, and wheelchair seating, awesome. Pre-board, awesome. Wheelchair through the entire airport. Sigler says, but I put my hat down. I'm embarrassed. Applegate says, I wear a mask. I don't let people see. Because of who you are, people might see you as a role model for MS. Applegate, oh, God, yeah. People say, can you talk at this thing? And I'll be like, no, because I'm not inspiring. I can't do it. Sigler says, neither of us signed up to be poster children for this. Applegate says, I'm not your girl yet. Give me a minute. This is new. Not even 3 years. Christina, the question is, Christina, after Dead to Me, you said you may not act again. Do you still feel that way? Applegate says, I don't know. On Dead to Me, I had the support I needed, and it took all of myself to do it. I don't think I'm going to have a set that's going to be that accommodating again. So I'm afraid. I don't know if anyone's going to accept me now the way I am. But to not be able to do it again, honestly, it hurts my heart. I miss it. Of course I miss it. Sigler says, all I want her to do is remember how incredibly special she is. I tell her all the time, you're Christina, mother F-ing Applegate. So right now, I'll hold the big dreams for both of us. For now, you have your podcast. Where did the idea for Messy come along? Applegate says, we would talk on the phone for hours, laughing and crying. And then we were like, this is helping us. Let's record this. Sigler says, we started about a year ago recording every week. We're sharing the deepest parts of ourselves, and I'm somebody that tried to do that for a long time. So this has been healing. Applegate says, I spent my career pretending to be someone else for everybody in the public eye. I don't have time to be inauthentic anymore. It's exhausting. Question, you talk about MS, but it's not a podcast about your disease. Why not? Applegate says, that'd be boring. I don't want to talk about it that much. Sigler says, MS brought us together. But it's not everything about us. It's the starting point to a conversation about how to push through something that's hard. Applegate says, it's about being honest. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be angry. At some point, you've got to pull up your big girl panties. And Sigler says, or your depends. Applegate says, pull up your depends. In the meantime, we've helped each other so much. Why not maybe help some other people? Sigler says, it helps me to believe that there's something good we could do with this disease. It's amazing. Those two girls have done so much. Those ladies, amazing. Let's see what else we can find. All right, let's take a look at the five things we're talking about. Number one, Cameron may reunite with Keanu. Wow. Continuing her return to acting, Cameron Diaz is reportedly in negotiations to star alongside Jonah Hill and her 1996 Feeling Minnesota inset co-star Keanu Reeves in the dark comedy Outcome, with Hill directing. Number two, Jason Kelsey's Soup Can, a fitting tribute to a big guy with a big heart. Campbell's Chunky honored Eagles star Jason Kelsey's retirement with a Legend Edition can and a $62,000 gift to his charity. His charity is B, in parentheses, Philly. Right? And then number three, Usher and Ludacris go platinum plus. This duo are screaming after announcing on X that Usher's 2004 hit song Yeah, featuring Ludacris and Lil Jon, went 13 times platinum, 13 million sold, just 2 days before the Super Bowl. Number four, Mr. Darcy's shirt auction. Romantics and Colin Firth fans alike bid for Mr. Darcy's infamous wet shirt from the BBC's 1995 Pride and Prejudice miniseries to benefit charity, and one lucky winner took it home for $32,000. And number five, Jessica Biel's new book, the actress and mom of two, announced that she wrote a kid's book about periods out in May to begin important conversations and normalize the discussion around menstruation. All right, those are the five things we're talking about. See, taking a look at the scoop, inside Princess Kate's photo controversy, this by Alex Ross. When Princess Kate posted a photo of herself and her three children on Instagram to celebrate Mother's Day in the UK on March 10th, she inadvertently fanned the flame of rumors about her well-being. Shot by her husband, Prince William, 41, at home in Windsor, the photograph in question, her first official one since undergoing abdominal surgery in January, showed a smiling Kate, age 42, surrounded by her children, Prince George, 10, Princess Charlotte, 8, and Prince Louis, age 5. A source says it was shared to offer an informal picture of the family together for Mother's Day. Let's see. Take Texas. As the royal family navigated scrutiny across the pond, Meghan Markle spoke on a panel about technology, media, and entertainment during opening day of the SXSW conference. That's South by Southwest conference on March 8th, with Prince Harry cheering her on from the audience. Afterward, the pair hit up a local joint, La Barbecue, for brisket and sausages. They seemed happy and sweet, team member Corey Rividmar says of the couple. What Armorer's guilty verdict means for Alec. On March 6th, Rushed Armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in connection with the fatal 2021 shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins, and legal experts say the verdict could hint at Alec Baldwin's fate. Baldwin, 65, an actor and producer on the Western, was charged with involuntary manslaughter in January because he was holding the prop gun when it fired the bullet that killed Hutchins. He maintains he didn't pull the trigger. Lawyer Emily D. Baker, who was not involved in this case, says the verdict has to be some indication that he may also be convicted, as Baldwin awaits his trial in New Mexico in July. A source says he still trusts his defense, and that's from was written by Brianna Tracy. And this is the armorer is the person who maybe hands out the guns or whatever. That's what that armorer is, I believe, the title. Happy birthday. Carrie Russell turns 48 on March 23rd, 1976. She was born. Spike Lee turns 67 March 20th. He was born in 1957. And Constance Wu, 42, born on March 22nd, 1982. And unfortunately, we have to make note of the passing of Steve Lawrence, who performed for more than six decades alongside his wife, the late Edie Gourmet. Stephen Edie died of complications caused by Alzheimer's disease on March 7th in Los Angeles. He was 88 years old. Tremendous loss, but what a career. He gave us all so much. On an up note here, let's see. Birthday love, Halle Berry and Van Hunt. The Oscar winner, 57, marked her musician boyfriend's 54th birthday on March 8th with a sweet Instagram post. "Don't count your candles, baby. Just enjoy the beautiful glow," wrote Berry, who will celebrate 4 years with Hunt in April. So congratulations. All right. I think that's going to do it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the March 25th. 2024 edition of People Magazine. I'm Steve Parker. So long until next time.